Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
I am excited about this morning. God's always so faithful, and He blesses me all the time when I spend time with Him and in His Word, and He always gives me a word just for that moment. And He talks to me the way I like to be talked to. Does He talk to you the way you like to be talked to? He talks to you the best way to communicate to you. And so I'm going to open in a word of prayer, and we're just going to ask for God to speak to us as individuals here today the way He would speak to you. So I know it's coming out of me, it's coming out of my voice, you're hearing me today, but at the same time, Holy Spirit takes those words and He turns them and ministers life and bread to you for exactly where you are today. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, Father, for giving me this word for such a day as this. I thank You that even as You gave it to me, I'm going to give it to them today with the power of Your Holy Spirit. I pray that Your words would cut through all of my words, and that Your will be done, and that Your anointing is on this service. I thank You that I'm anointed to speak Your words, and I declare an anointing upon the ears of the hearers today, that they receive Your word the way that You have it for them today. And I just thank You for it and give You praise for it today in Jesus' name. So if you'll stick with me today, we're going to go someplace. And I'm going to give it to you the way that God gave it to me. And we're just going to go with it because we have someplace to get today. And it may not sound at the very beginning that I have all my ducks in a row, but I really do. So, if you want to open with me to Psalms 145, we're going to read the whole thing, and that there's a couple places today that we are going to read quite a bit of scripture, but there's a purpose for that, and I want to make sure that you guys get the full picture of what God has given me. And this was a word for me just as much as it is for you, I believe. I will exalt You, my God, the King. I will praise Your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise You. I extol Your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend Your works to another. They will tell of Your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of Your majesty. And I will meditate on Your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of Your awesome works, and I will proclaim Your great deeds. They will celebrate Your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of Your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion to all He has made. All You have made will praise You, O Lord. Your saints will extol You. They will tell of Your glory, of Your kingdom, and speak of Your might, so that all men may know of Your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of Your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving towards all He has made. Do you see a theme here? The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving towards all He's made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to You, and You give them their food at the proper time. You open Your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all of His ways and loving towards all He's made. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love Him. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise His holy name forever and ever. And we're going to get back to that, but I wanted to read that just to kind of set the tone. There's a lot of things in there that if you go back and read it, which we will at the end, you're going to see how this all ties together. Let's turn over to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, 1 through, or just verse 4. It's talking about here in verse 3, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. And we just read that over in Psalms. But it says that he predestined us in love, that he chose us and he sees us blameless, spotless in his sight. Let's look at, verse 13 and 14 of that same chapter. Says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is our inheritance. So I thought, okay, so what's our inheritance? Our inheritance is not just salvation. It's not, or as religion has defined it, as salvation. We're not just going to heaven. Our salvation or our inheritance is walking the kingdom life. So it's walking as an overcomer. It's walking hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's walking in this life with the power of God resident in us. That is what our inheritance is. And with that includes us going to heaven and living in the kingdom with God. But the kingdom's supposed to be coming out of us, right? All right, I don't want to get too ahead of myself here. Because I'm like, I know where I'm going. In verses 13 and 14, chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 19 through 21. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God, with God's people, and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, this is the part I want you to hear, and in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So when it talks about us being built up into him, have you ever watched any of those like extreme home shows where they go in and they like tear down the whole house and they rebuild it in like 3 days or something? Or maybe you've seen some coverage on, I think it's Homes for Humanity or something like that, where they go in and they build these houses for these people and they bless them. And when you look at the way, and I think we have a construction worker in our midst here, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I've seen it before where they literally on the ground will build like the whole wall and you're like, what are they building? And all of a sudden they either have a crane or they have like 10 guys and they're all like, all right, 1, 2, 3, and they push it up and all of a sudden it becomes a wall on this house, right? So this is kind of the picture I got. Or like a roof, you know, they'll build it all on the ground. You're like, hey, that's a roof. What's that doing there? And they bring in a crane and they lift it up and they sit it on top of the house and all of a sudden it becomes the roof. And so when I was looking at this, that was kind of the picture I got, that it's a process. So we, as individuals, I kind of saw like one person as the roof and one person as the wall and whatever. But God's building us as individuals, but he's building us up into him, right? So basically it means we're in process, right? When nobody's really arrived just yet, we're in process. And so that's the phrase I want you to remember while we're going through this. We are in process. But God sees us through the eyes of love. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. And I'm just going to double check my scripture here really quick. I know we're going, if you're pulling scriptures, we're going to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. But I want to see one other one here. Oh, yes. Okay, so I wanted to begin with, at the very end of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, it says, now I'll show you the most excellent way. I like that. It kind of sounds like an 80s movie I heard once. The most excellent way. But this is what he's talking about. I'm going to show you the most excellent way. Basically, if I can do all these wonderful things, I have the gift of prophecy, I have the gift of faith, move mountains, I give to the poor, render my body to the flames, but I have love, I've gained nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. Now, I know we've all heard that a bunch of times, but let me tell you, that is how God sees us. We're in process, right? He sees us in our process, like he knows where we're at in our process, but he doesn't see us in that. Like, he's already seen us at our end, right? So he's seen us complete. And we all have stuff we got to work on. But God sees us with no deficiency. He sees us through the blood of Jesus. He sees us perfect. He sees our beginning to our end. And he helps us grow through that process. All right, so is everybody on board? God loves us, right? We know that. God loves us. All right. Well, guess what? He asks us to do the same, right? And I got excited about, I'm not going to go there. I'll go there at the end. I always do that. I said, Lord, I'm going to do my notes the way you gave them to me. All right, so I'm just going to quote this verse too. It's the end of Romans 5:5. So the end of verse 5 says, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I always heard it in Bible college, God has shed abroad the love of God in your heart. I like this. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, it's a little bit different. This is where I'm headed. It's a little bit different to love people outside than it is to love people in your family. Let me explain to you what I mean. Sometimes it's easy to take the people that we live with for granted. They know me. They know when I'm having a crabby day. Right? It's okay. They can handle it. They've heard me rant and rave before. Well. So then, I'll tell on myself. Okay, well, I won't go there just yet. So then you go to the grocery store and you fill your cart and you're having a really... I'm going to follow my husband's footsteps. You're having a really crappy day, okay? You've got all these groceries in your cart, and you're kindly nodding to everyone as you pass, and you get up to the grocery line and to the cashier, and you're like, hi, how's your day? You doing good? I hope you're having a great day. Yes, this, paper, plastic, plastic's fine. Okay, have a great day. You pay, and you go on your way, right? But you just... crabbed at your family, and they're like, I got the worst of you, right? What are you doing to me? Okay, or you're like me, and you know, you're having a bummer of a day, and you've maybe given a little to your family, and they're like, really? I still don't want to be in the same room with you for a minute. Like, take a breather. And then you go, and you get behind the wheel of your car. Now, see, to me, I'm like, well, they can't hear me. So I can say, man, don't you have an accelerator? Can't you? Look, if you just go a little faster, I can get over and get around you and get to where I'm going because I'm in a hurry. Okay, but that's not walking in love. And I used to think, you know, that's not really doing anybody any harm. They can't hear me. If I don't flip them the bird, which I don't, then, then they don't know that I'm mad at them. I can smile as I drive by, but I just, you know, giving them an earful back here. So as I speed around them and say, thank you for getting out of the way. But you know who is harming is me. Because that's not practicing walking in love. That is a missed opportunity for me to put into action what I really want, which is to live this life walking in love. I want to have less and less of those times, you know, crabbing at people, and more of the genuine times when I'm really walking in love. I don't want to be fake with people. Because you know what? The world has had a lot of fake. And they don't want fake. They want real. And that's what God wants. He's genuine with us, isn't he? So he wants us to be genuine as well, inside and out. But remember, we are in process. Yes. So if you've got stuff to work on, we don't beat ourselves up about it. We pick ourselves up and we say, Lord, show me how to do it better. And then comes Tuesday morning in the car. No, but seriously, you know, he sees us and he walks us through this process. So if we are in a process, so is everyone else. Now, I know Pastor Dan has talked a lot about laying our hands on people, seeing them recover, getting a word of wisdom, getting a word of knowledge, and that's coming in my message, and I'm jumping ahead. But I'm just telling you, there is a place for that, and there's a time for that, and that's the exciting stuff that we've been hearing about. But guess what? It starts right here in the house with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. It starts right here. And, you know, I've got a couple of stories I'll share with you in a little bit, but let's turn over to Romans 12, since you already, I was in Romans. Romans 12, verse 3 is where we're going to pick up. And, we're going all the way through some of 15, so I think. Well, sort of. So just follow with me as best you can, but we're going to pick up in verse 3. And this says right here, get to the right place. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Now, there's a few things I want to point out in this. First of all, it works both ways. Sometimes, you know, there may be people who do deal with pride and they need to not think more highly of themselves than they ought. But that a lot of times it works in the opposite, which is you need to see, this is it. This is the bottom line. You need to see yourself the way God sees you. That's plain and simple. You need to see yourself through the eyes of love. You need to see yourself through his eyes, which already sees you complete. And so, like I said, when you mess up, you don't beat yourself up about it. You set it aside and you say, okay, Lord, you know, I'm sorry for that. Can you help me do better next time? And then you just keep on going because there's no condemnation. Who's the condemner? Oh, are y'all awake this morning? Who is the condemner? The enemy. Yes. That evil in the world is what condemns us. That's what brings on the shame and the condemnation. That's not God. So God says, oh, made a mistake. Let's get going. Come on. Let's keep going forward. He doesn't want us to lose any time. He's got places to go and people to see and people to minister to and ways to minister to you. So we got to get going on this thing. So, but I also think that the church has stopped there and read it a little bit wrong because I think it says, let's see, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. I think they think that says, but rather think of everyone else with sober judgment. Oh, now talk to me. I'm going to have sober judgment with you right now, and I'm going to be able to point out to you all your stuff that you need to work on. Because I know we're in process, but I'm a little farther. So I'm going to have to just be soberly judgmental with you. No, that's not what God says. He says, use sober judgment with yourself. If he points something out to you, this is basically what it means. If he points something out to you, fix it. Ask his help to fix it. But don't get stuck on it. And certainly don't be looking at everybody else. Because guess where we're headed? Right here. We also, the big thing right there is also in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Basically, we live this life by faith, right? And everything that we do, we walk it out by faith. So, in verses 4 through 8, we're going to move on. It says, just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same functions, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in portion of his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. And if it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. I also look at that and I think, you know what? We all have other gifts too that it doesn't mention here. I mean, some of us are artists, some of us are singers, some of us can work with our hands, some of us have been blessed financially. It doesn't matter what God has called you to. We are all in process. This is what I'm pointing out to you. And we're being built up in the Lord. And we're supposed to build each other up in love, right? And that's talking about in the house. That's talking about with each other. It, like I said, it's easy sometimes, it just depends on the day, but it is easier sometimes to say, oh, I have a word from the Lord for you, or oh, I have a prompting to go talk to this person and encourage them. Sometimes that's easier than being nice when somebody, I don't know, doesn't wash out their dish or something in the house. You know what I mean? It's just, it's all relative. Okay, so let's go on to verse 9. There's other ways that we walk in love right here. Love must be sincere, hate what's evil, cling to what's good. So as we go through here, I've highlighted a few things. So try to listen to the highlights here. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. I tell you, I just have to say, I want you to know this is not like a, hey, get your act together thing. I love our house of people here. You guys are all givers. You're all faithful. You're all loving. I just want to share that with you. This is just what God has given me to share with you today. And like I said, Holy Spirit's going to take what you need and give it to you. So I just don't want you to think that I'm up here going, get your act together. That's what I'm saying. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God. Let's see. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So those are ways that we want to walk in love, and this is the ways that we practice walking in love. If you see yourself struggling with any of those, then maybe that's one of your highlighted moments that you need to go, I might need to work on that a little bit. Okay, so let's work on it, because we are all in process. Yes, thank you. Let's go on to chapter 13, verse 8. And it says, let no debt remain outstanding except for continuing. Basically, it says, you owe no man anything but to love him. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. You know, we all know these, right? And whatever the other commandments are, they can be summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not do harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of law. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let's put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light, which is basically walking in love. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Basically, that means we're walking in purity. We're finding ways to walk out purity. And that's part of being in process. So, I'm going to move on to I remember I said I was going to read a lot, and then we're going to tie it all together in the end. And this is the last little bit I want to read to you, and I have a couple of examples. So I was reading this one time, and I was having some issues, so I'll share that with you in a minute. But basically, I'm going to read this little part here. It's chapter 14, verses 1 through 8. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. So we know that in the Word of God, there are certain things that sin is sin is sin is sin, right? But then there are certain things that's actually up to what Holy Spirit has shown you in your life. Did you know that? It says it here. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who doesn't eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God's accepted both of them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So I want to jump down here. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It's written, as surely as I live, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. So I'm not responsible for you like that. You're not responsible for me. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your own mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. I'm looking for my verse here. I think it's up here farther. So let me tell you this. Let's put it in today's standards, okay? We live in a different generation today, and there are still things that are straight sin, still things that we're not supposed to do, but it's because of God says it leads to death, basically, right? All sin leads to death. But we're in process. So if he's shown you something that is a stumbling block for you, you ought not to partake in that. So, example, okay? Coffee, wine, all right? There's, in certain countries, drinking coffee is looked at like here when people look at drinking wine. Like, in the churches here in America, you know, some churches they're like, oh, don't drink any wine. That would be horrible for you. But in, say, Europe, they'll drink wine with their meal, but if you have coffee with your meal, that's the same thing for them. Oh, don't you drink coffee? That's horrible. And so our minds kind of go tilt at that, or at least mine did. Maybe I should speak for myself. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things. Do I dare touch this one? How about music choices? Music choices, okay? Obviously, there's some music out there that's not great. But there's some music out there that's fun and happy and beboppy, but it doesn't mention Jesus. Okay, well, maybe to so-and-so, it's not a big deal to listen to that. There was a time in my life where the Lord told me, you gotta cut that stuff off, because it was affecting me personally in the way I thought, in the way I acted, in the way what was coming out of me. I was too sensitive at that time to listen to the music choices that I was listening to. But I didn't go around and tell everybody else, you shouldn't listen to that music, because that's not my business. God didn't say, and thou shalt not listen to such and such a station. No, he didn't. He said, watch what you put in you. He did say that. So if it's affecting you, that might be one of those things you need to think about. Okay? How about going to certain restaurants? We went out with a couple one time, and they refused to eat at this one pizza place that everyone, the group had discussed, because they had a bar. and they served alcohol. Well, I don't know many restaurants now that don't, but to them that was offensive. So did we push and shove to go to that place? No, we chose another place to go to where it wouldn't be offensive to them. Now that, to me, that's not a sin. And there's nothing in this Bible that tells me otherwise that I have seen as of today. But that to them was a big deal. Okay? Or how about, I will go to this one, because we do live in a generation now that they don't understand, and they think differently about things than the way I was raised. And I've learned to be okay with it. But how about tattoos? They're everywhere. They seem like body jewelry to a lot of young kids today. And everybody talks about getting theirs. They don't think of it being a spiritual aspect. And God hasn't revealed that to any of them. And so they might have a tattoo. So is it our job to stand up and say, oh, you have a tattoo? Or is it our job to say, don't get that? That's horrible. That's something that maybe God put in us, but we need to search it out and see how that hits us. Basically, this says everything that we do, we need to do in thanksgiving to God. So if you can't do that with thanksgiving to the Lord, probably shouldn't do it. Whether it's going to a movie, going to a restaurant, listening to certain music. This next scripture, I'm hoping, is the one I was looking for. Aha, I found it. Basically, each individual is going to give an account to the Lord for himself, right? And there's other scriptures in here that talks about, if this is offensive to one, don't do it. If this is offensive to someone else, don't do it. Well, in this day and age, you could be not doing a whole lot of stuff because you don't want to offend everybody. But we just talked about it. So if you're with some people and it's offensive to them to go to a certain thing or whatever, just go somewhere else. Not really that big of a deal, right? So you live with balance is what I'm trying to say. But verse, let's see, it's chapter 14, verses 19 through 22. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Remember, we're supposed to build each other up in love, right? So we walk in love, not condemnation towards one another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Basically, what God's doing in each other, what God's working in you, what God's working in me, we don't need to get our hands all messed up in that. God's big boy. He can take care of his own kids. So if they are doing something wrong, he can get their attention. Your job's to pray for them. You don't need to be pointed out to them and saying, okay? Oh, they didn't see it on the tape. You don't take your finger and wave it in their nose. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It's better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother to fall, especially if you know it. You're not going to sit there with someone who has a problem with alcohol and have a glass of wine with dinner. It might hurt. It might offend them. It might affect their walk with the Lord. You don't know where they're at. So you need to be sensitive to that. But verse 22 is where I'm headed. So whatever you believe about these things, keep it between yourself and God. Huh, can you believe it? He actually said that for me. So whatever you believe about these things, keep it between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves, but never mind. Anyway, that's the whole point. He says, keep it between you and God. If that's a big deal for you, like I've heard Kenneth Copeland say before, God told him for years, stop drinking coffee, stop drinking coffee, stop drinking coffee, stop drinking coffee. For him, that was something God was trying to get across to him. So guess what? For him, he has made the choice that he is not going to drink coffee. He said he tried it one time after he'd already made the decision. I'm not going to drink coffee anymore, Lord. You've already dealt with me on this. I'm not going to do it. He drank it. He had such problems. He had like a half a cup of coffee. Am I saying coffee is wrong to drink? No, because I love Starbucks. Okay? I have a Keurig in my house. But the fact is, for some people, that's not okay. So if you have an issue with someone, it could be your pet peeve. Actually, it could be something greater, but you might not have an inroad into their life to say anything about it. then it is our job to pray for that person. It's not our job to go to them necessarily and say something unless the Lord has led you that way. I'll give you an example. Another example. There was a ministry that we had been involved with, and there were things that we saw were happening that weren't accurate, and we addressed some of the issues. But some of the issues actually weren't going to be fixed by conversation. They're bigger than that. And they were things that God was going to have to reveal to this individual that he wasn't ready to listen to or receive. So in that instance, Pastor Dan and I, we chose not to say anything about certain things going on. It was nothing immoral. It was nothing like that where we would need to call him on the carpet, but it was stuff that was hurting people. It wasn't walking in love, you know? A lot of things like that. And it brings damage to people when we don't walk in love. And we don't want to do that. So it was very hard for me to keep my mouth shut. It was. And I wanted to get in there and tell other people, did you hear what he said? That is so not right. Did you see this in the Word? It says right there, he should not be talking like that. It's not my place. It's not my place. So we walk in love. And also, you don't know what God's working on in that person's heart. You don't know where they came from. You don't know what's been put in them that God's got to get out of them before he can bring that change. So we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We need to live our lives in balance. We need to live with love being our focus and not looking at people through a critical eye. That's never what God wants from us, right? Ever, ever, ever. So the last, I think this is the last scripture I want to look at is Romans 15, 5 through 9. And it says this: May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and one mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become the servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Basically, what I wanted you to see in that is that the Jews and Gentiles couldn't have been any different. Jews lived by the law, and to them, that was it. Gentiles didn't even know about Jesus at the beginning. This was all new to them, and they came with all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. But you know what? They said they set aside their differences to bring glory to God. And that's the kind of stuff it's talking about. Certain people observe one day. Certain people think all days are alike. Is that a big deal in the scheme of things? No, it is not. But like I was saying before, you have to know when to say something and when not to say something. I forgot that one. Oh, well, you probably didn't need to hear that one. let's see. So how will they know us as we go out to love on people, as we go out listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and for him to say, you know, talk to this one, encourage this one, do this. As we are practicing to do that, we need to be practicing to walk in love. Love gives us confidence to step out in those things. So when we're practicing love, we're practicing a balanced life, we're practicing purity, those things give us, for some reason, they give us a foundation to spring from, because there is not a place for condemnation to come in. If we're engaging in activities that we know is not right and the condemner comes in and he's like, meh, 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 well, you need to get past that, but it's harder to get past it when you've willingly been a participant. So like if my big issue is griping at people while I'm behind the wheel and the Lord's already talked to me about it and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do great. And then I get in the car and I'm road rage, right? Okay, well, I missed it. And the first couple of times might be okay. Not okay, but I mean, it's like, oh, I can get up. I can pick that one up. I can push it off to the side. Problem comes in when it's become, I keep overriding that. Holy Spirit says, hello, we talked about this. And I go, I know, but I'm mad. Okay. He gets quiet, and I do my thing. Okay, so then it comes again, and he rises up a little bit less. His voice gets quieter, not because he's quieter, but because I've already put stuff on top of him, so now he's a little more muffled. Mm-hmm. Stop, we talked about this. And I go, I'm mad. He gets quieter and quieter, and then the less and less. So then I come in here, and I go to smile at everybody and talk, and who knows, maybe I've passed you on the road. I don't know. That'd be really bad. But then I'm standing up here, and now I'm wondering in my own head, oh, gosh, did I cut so-and-so off? Did they see my mouth? Did they? Now, all of a sudden, I'm wondering, uh-oh, now I've got questions. And now Holy Spirit says, hey, give Mary a word. I don't know. I saw a van like hers, and I cut her off. What if it was her? Now I'm questioning. So do I have the confidence to say, hey, Mary, this is what Holy Spirit said? I don't have the confidence to say that because I don't know. Maybe I offended her. So now I've got all these questions in my head. That's not the place we want to live. We want to live with confidence. We want to live in that place where we go, God says, over there, yeah, I'm here. Not because I'm perfect, but because we're in process and we're working towards getting there, right? We live life with a clear conscience. So the big deal is this, and this is where I was headed. In giving an example, my family, my mom and dad, they were pastors from the time I was born, okay? So we were always in the eye of the public. And we knew how things went at home, you know. We understood if mom got mad at dad, this is how it went. Nobody's getting divorced. Nobody's screaming and shoving. No one's throwing things. They get upset. They work it out. And now we're fine. This is the way it goes, right? So they were pastoring a church. And so it wasn't unlikely for my dad to be running late. And so my mom was always 10 minutes early and my dad was always 10 minutes late. And so they would try to find that middle point and be on time. Just never seemed to work. And when you're the pastor of the church, it doesn't look really good. So she'd be upset. Rah, 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 I can't believe we got you out of here on time, blah, blah, blah. So she's griping and griping and griping. But we got our act together and got it worked out before we got to church so that we could walk in, not with a fake smile, but actually be genuine and walk in love. We got our stuff worked out on the way to church. We're good, okay? However, just as I said, it's great and easy to love people on the outside. How does the word tell us that they're going to know us? The world's going to know us by our fruit, by our love, right? They will know you by your love. Well, guess what? In families, sometimes we do have to work out our stuff. And sometimes it can get a little messy while we're working it out, right? But we love each other and we kind of know how it goes. But if other people look at that and they see it, do you honestly think we're going to be able to stand up in front of him and go, God is faithful and look at his mighty acts? And they're going, I can't get past what you all just did right there. I can't get past the crabby looks that I just saw with you two. Or what makes you any different? We do that in my house all the time, except for plates fly. I mean, I don't know. But you never know who, you know, we just want to be able to truly walk in love with that genuine heart. And because we walk in love, we can bring up issues with each other if we need to or whatever. We can work out our stuff and we give each other room to work it out. But we don't need to be airing that for the world to see because we need to be able to go all the way back to Psalms 145 and say, God is faithful. So let's look at that one last time. One last time, 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever. God, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness, no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. Now, when we get to proclaim his great deeds, it's as we've seen them come to pass in our lives. And it comes easier the more we walk and live. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger. This is how we want to work with other people. Slow to anger, rich in love. That's what I want it to be said about me, that she's slow to anger and rich in love. I haven't arrived, y'all. I'm not perfect. I'm working on it. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you've made will praise you. Your saints will extol you. They'll tell of your glory, of your kingdom, and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts. That's big. All men need to be able to see us walking in unity. All men need to be seeing that we're headed for purity, that we're walking, actively doing our utmost to walk in love. Your kingdom's the everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he's made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. We want to be that place where God can work through us to do that for other people. Amen. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he's made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, and all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of all those who fear him. He hears the cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen. So that's where we're headed. We are in process. We're aiming to walk in purity, walk in love towards one another. And as we do, we'll have the confidence to go out and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, lay our hands on the sick and see him recover, be able to give them that word of truth and of love in their life and see them have those chains that have been on their lives broken off of them and come into what we know as restoration, and they become part of our inheritance. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I never want to end without offering a time of prayer if anybody needs it. I'm going to close with a word of prayer, but then I'm going to stay up here for a minute. If anybody needs prayer for anything, I'd be happy to agree with you in prayer and get some answers. Father, I just thank you for today, and I thank you for your word that came forth today. As I said at the beginning, I ask that you would take all the parts that I've kind of thrown out there as you gave them to me, Lord, and give each individual here exactly what they needed to hear. Use it as ministering to them this week. Seal this word in their hearts that they'll not forget it, but they will remember the parts that you want to be highlighted to them this week. Things that we can work on. Things that we can just move closer to you, walking closer with you and walking in more genuine love towards all those that we come in contact with. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that goes with us this week, empowers us to live this life that you've given us to live. And we'll remember as we look at our brothers and sisters that we're all in process, and we'll pray for one another and build each other up in love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.